It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I thank each and every one of you for joining us, for listening. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive with excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to this team that I get to work with, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Monday, Steve. We look at this packet. We have work to do.
This is probably one of the most, loaded packets I've seen in terms of what we get on a daily basis.
That's saying a lot, because Patty puts quite a bit of research into this, and there is a lot going on in our world today. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You will get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcasts. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I thank each and every one of you who support us. We are an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not need force to implement that particular idea. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, and that is government-induced inflation, Steve.
Once again, I got to point out, prior to the Biden administration, we only had three items on that list. Now we have six.
Well, and it is it's remarkable what we see going on in our communities, in our world right now. And it's just unbelievable. But I do encourage you to sign up for our weekly newsletter. We did roll out Rick Turnquist's most recent op-ed, Unfit to Govern. And then we also had this very good podcast with Pastor Christine Uwazera Coleman, who survived the Rwandan genocide. And we talked about mandated vaccines and Afghanistan on that. So be sure and check that out. I'm going to go directly to our quote, Steve, because I think it's very important. And went to General George Patton, apparently, I think, at Trump's rally on Saturday night. They had that Patton speech, remember from the movie Patton, where he comes out and gives that speech. My understanding is that, anyway, they started with that. And I thought it might be appropriate then to go with a George Patton quote. And I need to know more about this man. He really was instrumental in defeating Hitler. And what he asked of his men, as I have interviewed so many World War II veterans, and some of those that were in his Third Army, said that it was difficult for the supply lines to stay with the troops because he was moving so quickly across Europe. And that's one of the ways that they really defeated Hitler. So, and the other thing is he never would ask his men to do things that they knew that he would not do himself. And so anyway, he led the Third Army in a very successful sweep across France during World War II in 1944. He was skilled at tank warfare. He was considered one of the most successful combat generals in U.S. history. He was the first officer assigned to the tank troops in World War I. During World War II, he helped lead the Allies to victory in the invasion of Sicily and was instrumental to the liberation of Germany from the Nazis. He was born in 1885. He died in 1945 from injuries from a Jeep accident. And this is what he said, and I think this is so relevant for us today. He said, "Urge all your men to pray, not alone in church, but everywhere. Pray when driving, pray when fighting, pray alone, pray with others, pray by night and pray by day, Pray for the cessation of immoderate rains, for good weather for battle. Pray for the defeat of our wicked enemy, whose banner is injustice and whose good is oppression. Pray for victory. Pray for our army and pray for peace. We must march together all out for God. And I was very surprised when I found this quote, Steve.
Well, how well do you remember the movie Saving Private Ryan? It makes me wonder, maybe this is the impetus for this in the screenplay, but towards the end of the movie, you know, at least in the last third of it, there was a sniper, an American sniper, who, as he was doing his thing, was quoting scripture as he, again, was plying his specialty. And it was, to me, it was such a, I don't know if it's dichotomy is the right word, in terms of this guy quoting scripture as he's literally, you know, killing.
But he was fighting evil.
Oh, yes.
I think that's the thing. And
but I wonder, you know, if Patton, this quote from Patton, was the, you know, the inspiration for that particular aspect of Saving Private Ryan.
Interesting. Interesting. That is a very interesting thought. Very possibly. But I really think that we are at a time right now, Steve, where we must pray for our country incessantly as well. As I look at what's happened in Afghanistan, and so it was, what, just a week ago Friday when things really started to unwind in Afghanistan. And we go over to this headline now, that this is from the Denverite, and it says that Denver is preparing to host refugees from Afghanistan. So let's think about this. We have gone to Afghanistan to prevent terrorists from coming to America. Then we look at that first plane that came out that was just packed with people. There was no social distancing. There was no masking. And the other thing is please note that I think they said that maybe about 140 of the 600 to 700 people on that plane were Americans. And so there is no way those first flights coming out that there was any way. There's no way right now that they're vetting people. There's no way that those people had all their papers in order. There's no way that they had their knew that whether or not they had their COVID vaccine. And so we've whisked them into the United States. And we know that, what was it, just 18 terrorists on 9/11 were able to kill, what, over 3,000 Americans. Am I getting my numbers right on that, Steve?
Just short of 3,000, yes.
So we are now, when we have spent 20 years, there's been blood and treasure, billions of dollars in Afghanistan. We are now putting people on planes and bringing them here without vetting them. And then Governor Polis says, we will take some of them in Denver, as if Denver's crime rate wasn't going up enough. And one of the groups that will be bringing them in, and it says that they've been very busy, and I'm very familiar with the group because I actually was on the board for 6 years. And it took me a while to connect the dots on that, and that is Lutheran Family Services, Lutheran Refugee Services. And it took me a while to figure out. I thought that charities were charities up until I started to realize what they're now called NGOs. They're non-governmental agencies. And so they live off government dollars. But again, they're not accountable to the people. And when I, at that time, when I was looking at the budget, and what really had drawn me to them is their adoption services, because I thought it was really great that adoption was an option instead of abortion. So that was really one of the reasons that drew me to the organization. And I ended up being on the board, ended up being on the executive committee. And when I started to connect the dots, though, that a big portion of the budget was going to refugee resettlement. And then because they were taking government money, we could not talk about Christianity. And we really didn't assimilate people coming in as well. And that things really changed under the Trump administration as we finally got the southern border under control, not bringing all these people in, as well as, you know, careful about who we brought in from other countries. But now, my friends, what's happening is we are using our tax dollars to bring people into our community that then many times are receiving money. rent assistance, cash assistance, medical assistance on our dime once again. And we don't even know for sure who they are, and we are not assimilating them to the American idea. This is happening right here in our community as we speak, and I think we should be very concerned about it, Steve.
Well, I shared with you earlier, we're having some technical difficulties, and my attention was diverted away from studying this thing like I would normally do. I did pick up on there was one particular absurdity. I'm trying to find it desperately while you're talking, but I haven't found it yet. My question is there any mention in this whole thing about what type of quarantining they're going to have to go through when they get here? Or are we just going to open the door and say, there you go, you're welcome to Colorado?
I don't know. We'll have to find out on that. And I'm not sure it will be easy to find out. And all this is occurring while we are masking our kids up to send them to school, and while we're, really tapping down everyday hardworking Coloradans' lives. And then the other thing is, Steve, is if we don't take care of our own house, how the heck do we think that we can do anything for the world? And this idea that that we have people here that are hungry, we have people here that need assistance. And they're tearing the fabric of our country apart. And if we don't stand, if we don't start to say no to these kinds of things, I mean, just think about the danger that we are bringing into our community right now. And I think I mentioned last week, I went to a presentation up in Loveland where there were five women there that presented, and they had all grown up under communism. And one of the things that they said is we must stand now because, and they said they can't jail all of us. They can't fire all of us. And we need to stand against, this is not even a soft tyranny that is occurring in our country. But then all the thought that POLIS is going to bring in people on our dime that may possibly hurt us without proper vetting. We've realized that they don't really care about everyday hardworking Americans and everyday hardworking Coloradans. As General Arbuckle had said a few weeks ago, we are certainly in perilous times and for America. And that was before all of this that happened in Afghanistan, Steve.
Sometimes I'm guilty of this, and I think maybe a lot of us are, because we just cannot get down to the most base level and see just how potentially despicable people really can be. Who's to say in this group of people that are being rounded up and offered transportation out of Afghanistan that they're not Taliban plants? You know, that once they get on the inside with a minimal amount of support, they can really do some nasty things.
You think? And the fact that Biden, I'll just do this other headline and then we'll go to break here in just a moment. The fact that this is from the Epic Times, Biden says the Afghan evacuation has a long way to go. Much could still go wrong. I don't think that he really thinks about human life when he does this. The idea that they closed the Bahrain air base? I'm not sure I'm saying that correctly.
Oh, Bagram, yes.
Bagram, okay. That they closed that without, first of all, getting out American civilians is just, it's just beyond me. It's just incompetence at amazing levels to me. And so he comes on and he says, it has a long way to go and much could go wrong. You think something could go wrong?
He is desperate. He's under the gun. I mean, when a member of parliament stands up in parliament to, you know, for the sole reason of bashing Joe Biden and the idiotic maneuvering that he's doing here in the last 2 weeks or so, he knows he's getting pressure from all over the world. And now he's absolutely desperate to do something that is perceived as, oh, I'm still in control here.
Right, right. So, and while he's doing that, people are being, they're behind lines, and there's been headlines that Americans, some of Americans have been beaten. And, you know, the American military mantra, the Marines is, and our military is, we do not leave a man behind. But that sometimes does require planning. And so we will continue to watch this as this unfolds. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is a great sponsor of both of my shows. They have five locations, and that is Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And Steve, they've got burger specials. And it says, this is, I think, Monday through Friday. It's dine-in only. And it says, get any of their specialty burgers for $10. And it starts with 2 4-ounce patties. So, oh my gosh, that's going to be plenty to eat. But they have a mushroom Swiss burger, a bacon blue burger, the Southwest burger, the Western burger, the mac and cheese burger. I bet that's pretty good for you, but I bet it tastes good. And their Cali burger. So go to my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on my sponsors tab. I highly recommend each and every one of them. And click on the Hooters tab and you will get all their specials. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue with headlines. And Dr. Jill Vecchio will be our guest in segments 3 and 4. We thought we were going to have Jill in the second segment and Brigitte Gabriel in the third and fourth. We need to reschedule her. But Jill's been doing a lot of research on the mandated vaccines and all kinds of things around COVID. So stay tuned. We'll have some headlines when we come back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I really appreciate all the support that you give us as well. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And just going back to this issue of POLIS bringing in these Afghani quote-unquote refugees when there is no, common sense shows us there's no possible way to be for sure vetting who they are. But when we talk about freedom versus force, we know that from fees and taxation now here in Colorado, that is a way to forcibly take people's hard-earned dollars. Now, I think most all of us realize that there is some amount of taxation that is necessary for the basic functions that we ask for government to do. But the things that we can do ourselves, those things, then we should have not be taxed for that and make those decisions with our own money. So, for example, if your church or a charity came to you and said, we're going to bring in a bunch of Afghani refugees and we want you to give us money, one of your first questions might be, Steve, is, have they been vetted? You know, why are they coming here? I think that there would be some questions to make sure that that is done. But here we're having money forcibly taken from us, bringing these people in that have not been vetted, then using our other hard-earned dollars to set them up with rent, places to live, food, medical care, even cash assistance sometimes. And when government gets involved, then there's no accountability on that. Am I making sense to you? Does that make sense?
Well, you,
I hope you say yes.
One of the tenets of this, of everything you've been doing since I've been working with you, is that, you know, we have some base level of taxation for the basic fundamental things that government's supposed to do. Our concern is when it goes, you know, gets out of control and it goes over the top. And there are, how many examples do you want?
Yes. and yes. And then the other component is, which is immoral, and that is to print money. Because what that means is our children and our grandchildren will, we say they'll have to pay it back. If we get too far out there, what kind of country are we going to be passing on to them? And there's something immoral about that. We have a responsibility to pass on something good to the next generation. One thing, Steve, I wanted to mention, Leslie Manoukian, we had her on, oh gosh, a little over a week ago. And she is a former Wall Street executive. She was with Goldman Sachs. And she really started looking at vaccines in 2000. She said she'd been vaccinated because she was traveling all over the world. And she started to look at that. And, you know, fast forward to where we are now in 2021, we're seeing with all this forced vaccination that they're taking away our health freedom. And so she has founded the Health Freedom Defense Fund. And I can't tell you how many people reached out to listen to that show. You can go to my website and it's there. But she's coming to Colorado. I'm working with a group of other women and we're bringing her to Colorado. And there's going to be three events. And one this Thursday, August 26th from 6 to 8 in Loveland at the Message of Life Ministries. Then Friday, August 27th in Parker at Deep Space, and then Saturday, August 28th, at the Central Christian Church. And we are going to have this information in our show recap. So that'll be up tomorrow morning. And just wanted to make sure that that is available, because the fact that we no longer have our own health freedom, and we have all of these mandates coming down saying you have to get this vaccine if, in fact, you want to be employed or fill in the blank, we need to know what we can do about it. So I highly recommend that you join us at one of these events, and I think it'll be very important. When Karen is on Thursday, we'll probably have to retalk about this, but this is from the Los Angeles Times, Steve. And it said, the editorial is, to save California, sacrifice single-family zoning. They said, for decades now, California leaders have been stuck in a low-density, single-family, not-in-my-backyard, 20th-century mindset. The result is a deep housing shortage that is driving more Californians into poverty, worsening inequality, and hurting economic opportunity. Now, that's quite a statement right there, Steve, but I would submit to you that it actually is because of public policy. The fact that they have prevented through zoning, we've talked with Randall O'Toole with the Cato Institute about this many times, that it has been public policy that has prevented the building of single family homes. If you go south from San Francisco and you're going through the hills south of San Francisco down into Palo Alto and all that area there. There is hills and hills and hills that's not developed. And you could certainly put homes there. And then also the cost of housing. We've talked about it here in Denver, where the Denver City Council says that all new builds, or if you're doing a remodel, that with certain stipulations that you have to make sure that you put in an electric vehicle charging station. Well, that costs money. If somebody wants to do that, they should be free to do that. But when you force that increases the price of housing, which makes housing more unaffordable. And then, of course, we've got the whole unaffordable or the affordable housing military complex over here, where the put that with the homelessness military, I should say military industrial complex, because people are making big money in these particular issues that we are facing. And there's no way we will ever solve problems when there are people at the trough making a lot of money because of that problem, Steve.
Maybe we should devote some time, plan a segment around this term industrial complex, no matter who's, what the adjective in front of it, military, homelessness, whatever, because they all seem to have the same root problem.
And that is that government has gotten involved And when government gets involved, you can be assured that costs will go up, supply will go down, and the quality will become limited. And you can see that across the spectrum. But what this really is, but that first sentence, though, is where they say it's driving Californians into poverty. How about their income tax, Steve? I mean, we really need to challenge this editorial. And then that says worsening inequality. Once again, when you have this all-out assault on the middle class, and one of the tenets of a middle class is to be able to own their own home, and they create wealth, and then hurting economic opportunity. It's not single-family zoning that's doing that. It's not the fact that people can live in their own home and have a little bit of a backyard, their own little park. It's public policy that is driving this. But then they are using that to, once again, they're going to start to try to take away people's opportunity to own their own home. It's very frustrating. And you know what's happening? People are leaving. People are leaving for states where they can have their own home. I know a number of my friends have fled Colorado. And I realize that there are those that think that because Colorado is so beautiful, that people won't leave. They will leave. And I know people are leaving, Steve.
Well, the you know, to the degree that the politics has become so distasteful and so misguided, and then ultimately it impacts them in their, you know, in their finances. So yeah, why not leave? If things become so extreme, there's no reason to, you know, continue to put up with it.
Well, and the other thing is the safety of our neighborhoods. When we look at the crime rate in Denver, and then we also look at these DAs that have not really prosecuted crimes to keep our neighborhoods safe, people will flee. And they will flee to places where they feel that they have opportunity and where they feel safe. And once again, bringing these Afghanis in without proper vetting, I think, can be very dangerous for our community. Let's see. I think we're going to be talking a whole bunch about COVID, but let's just do this one last headline here, Steve. It says the University of Virginia disenrolls over 200 students for failing to comply with vaccine mandates. And it disenrolled 238 of them, including students who had enrolled in the fall courses. And it says that may mean that a good number of the remaining students may not have been planning to return to the university this fall at all. And it says the students were disenrolled after receiving multiple reminders via email, text, phone calls to their parents that they were out of compliance. That's another good force word there.
They left out homing pigeons.
Yeah. And it says about 96.6% of students have been vaccinated against COVID-19, according to a news release. And it says the university granted 335 permanent vaccine waivers for students with religious or medical exemptions. Also granted 184 temporary vaccine waivers for students who couldn't get vaccinated but intend to. Exempt students must be tested weekly and wear a mask in indoor and outdoor common spaces. Tell you what, I wouldn't be going to the University of Virginia. I don't think a college education, and I don't think a college indoctrination is that necessary, Steve.
Aren't they talking out of both sides of their face, though? If they granted over 300 exemptions, that's 300 people who basically, you know, for whatever the reason for asking for the exemption, so they've denied themselves the biological, you know, option of mitigating the possible impact, and that's all it did. Now they're going after these other people, actually disenrolling them, like the article says, you know, for basically making the same decision.
Interesting. Very interesting. The other thing, though, this testing on a regular basis, I think, is we're starting to see that there's some potential health effects on that as well. And who pays for that? They're just trying to make it so inconvenient for people that they will finally capitulate. And we need to continue to have these conversations about this. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Dr. Jill Vecchio on this. She continues to do a lot of research on the vaccine, the mandates, testing, all of this. And so stay tuned. You won't want to miss these next two segments. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support our work. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. Dr. Jill Vecchio is on the line, and she once she decides that she's going to learn something, she does all the work to make sure that she does that. She was one of the few people in America that actually read the Complete Unaffordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, and really went to work to inform people about what was happening in healthcare. And we really do need to have freedom in our healthcare. Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Kim? Thanks for having me.
Good to have you, Jill. You've been doing a tremendous amount of research now on the COVID, the vaccine mandates. I mean, Jill, when you and I first met each other, would you have ever dreamed? Well, maybe you did, because you actually can kind of, I think you do have crystal balls. Could you have ever dreamed we'd be in this situation, though?
No, but at the same time, it's been a long, long process, and there's so much to learn about the healthcare industry, how it works. I mean, you're always learning in more politics. I did not anticipate that our own government, the CDC, the NIH, would be complicit to this extent in this kind of a farcical pandemic. I mean, this is craziness. Although you can, now that it's happened, you can look back and go, oh, now I get it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But to anticipate it, I never thought Obamacare would pass in a million years. I never thought we would be even having a discussion on single-payer health care in the United States. Never. In 2008, 2009, never. So everything's turned upside down from what I considered would be possible. But that was before I became more politically astute and realized how corrupt the entire system of our government has become in general.
Well, let's talk a little bit about vaccines, because it seems to me that when I first started to voice some concerns to you about this forced vaccination thing, and this was several years ago. I mean, you're a doc, and you had seen the benefits of vaccines, and so I felt that you and I had a little bit of a rub there for a little bit. But as you and I both started to do research on this forcing of vaccines, I think we both had our eyes open. What's your thoughts? What's your comment on that?
On forcing the vaccines? I totally disagree with it, because they're not following any of the science, and I don't trust anything that they're saying at this point. I think they've completely lost the confidence of the American people, with good reason, because they keep changing the goalposts. They keep, you know, more fiery hoops for us to jump through, more control. They lie about this. They come up with some model that doesn't work, that's proven very easily and very quickly to be ridiculously inaccurate. And that's how they base all of their recommendations on all of these ridiculous models that they hire people or have internal models made. And clearly, since they're always, always wrong, dreadfully wrong, it seems to be the only conclusion that a reasonable person would draw is that they're using these models to manipulate and control us, including the vaccines. Now, what's interesting with this Delta variant, I've been doing a lot of research on this. The number one thing people have to understand right now is if you are told that you have the Delta variant, you need to ask them, did you do a genetic testing on my particular virus? Because that is the only way for anyone to know that if someone has a positive COVID test, that they have the Delta variant. There is no test for the Delta variant at this point. Also,
okay, so let's stop right there. So this sounds to me like the Delta variant is kind of made up then.
Well, you know, apparently they do have the genetic structure for the Delta variant, and they're doing genetic analysis on all of the variants. At this point, we are at kappa for variants around the world. So they use Greek letters, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, blah, blah, blah. So we're at kappa, at least right now, around the world, according to a CDC, let's see here, what's it called, the CDC coronavirus disease treatment guidelines that was issued, I believe, like a month ago or maybe less than that. August 17th. So this is like pretty darn new, 6 days old. So according to 6 days ago, with the CDC release of these new guidelines for treatment of COVID, they talk about we're down to kappa. Anyway, so there are all these variants. Well, you don't have individual tests for all these variants. So now anybody who gets any kind of a positive COVID test, and remember that they are 40% inaccurate, not meant to ever be administered to asymptomatic people, okay? Two things. 40 to 60% inaccurate, false positive and false negative, and these tests were not designed to be given to asymptomatic people, period, period, period. So they're being misused grossly. If there's a positive COVID test, all that means is you could have, and there's an amazing cross-reactivity with any coronavirus, common cold, whatever. If you do come up with a positive test, it could be one of these variants. It could be the original COVID. You don't know, or it could be a false positive, or it could be a common cold. But they're calling all of these tests Delta.
Interesting.
I have my nephew. What got me alerted to this a little bit more closely was my nephew and his girlfriend both got vaccinated in order to travel earlier in 2021. And they both got sick, or they both got a cold or whatever, had some symptoms. The girlfriend got tested. My nephew did not. She was COVID positive. They told her she was Delta variant. And my sister-in-law tells me this, and it's like, that's baloney. How do they know that? They don't know it. Did they do genetic analysis on her particular nasal swab? It's ridiculous. So they are misusing, once again, all of the data, all of the information. They're misusing the testing, and they're completely ignoring treatments, which we can talk about later. But they are using scare on the Delta variant when it's actually probably multiple variants. And the next question you have to ask is, wait a second, she was vaccinated. We were told initially, oh, you have to have this vaccine because that will protect you against the variants. They specifically said that.
Well, and didn't they say
this will protect you against getting COVID ever again? Everybody has to have the vaccine. Oh, son of a gun! Then it's not going to prevent COVID, but you won't be. You'll be less likely to be hospitalized or die. It does not prevent this Delta variant or other variants any more than the flu vaccine does. So it's such a bunch of lies about something that we've dealt with RNA viruses forever. Why are they treating this one so differently?
Well, I think that it comes to power and control, because first of all, when they say that, you and I had a conversation about this, that they said that these vaccines were 95% effective. And you and I are like, there's no possible way that anything could be 95% effective. And and now we're seeing the, what do they call that? The breakthrough cases of people that have been vaccinated.
Breakthrough cases. Okay. Right, they're calling them breakthrough cases, you know, and oh, okay, so, but unless you know which genetic, you know, what the genetic structure is of whatever COVID supposedly, whatever variant they've got, how do you know it's a breakthrough? How do you know it wasn't, you know, how do we know at this point that this vaccine is worth anything at all? Honestly, how do we know? Because technically, we had so many people that got infected with COVID that there was some level of herd immunity. Now you vaccinate people. We should have complete herd immunity at this point, but now we're getting all these variants. How are you determining what's breakthrough, what's a variant? You know, their definitions for things are constantly changing.
Well, and Jill, let's go to break. When we come back, I've been seeing it, and I think we're all getting all these different videos and all this different information. But it does seem one of the themes that I see with this vaccine is that there's potential blood clotting, which could be a concern. And I guess my understanding is also that if you get COVID, there's a potential for blood clotting. But that seems to me something that we should talk about. So let's go to break. When we come back, I'd like to talk with Dr. Jill Vecchio about the potential of blood clotting with the vaccine or getting COVID. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool, a great little business right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. They're bringing in a new shipment of knives that you'll want to check out on their website. And they also have three different lines of watches that are pretty cool as well. So go to their website, castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com for more information on that. And again, that is castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Dr. Jill Vecchio, and she has been doing a tremendous amount of research on COVID. And the question I had on the table before we went to break is this clotting. And I watched a video this weekend that it was a German doctor who had, I guess, just taken blood samples of her patients and just put that underneath a microscope. And she was concerned about the way the red blood cells, I think it was, they were kind of coming together. And I'm not a doctor, but it looked to me like that could be a potential problem, maybe clotting. What's your thoughts on that, Jill?
There have been... you can easily find a lot of articles on adverse events from the vaccines, and it's a little scary that we're not hearing about a lot of this stuff. You have to look for it. The articles are out there. There is not only clotting, there's clotting in abdominal, big blood vessels, big veins and stuff that you have in your abdomen that transport whatever nutrients have been absorbed in what you ate or drank. Then you know, that gets transported around to the organs that need it, and all the liver and gut and all this through these big veins in your abdomen. And there's clotting in those vessels. There's clotting in the brain, blood clots in the lungs potentially, and there's also spontaneous bleeding. So it's weird. There are kind of dichotomous reactions potential adverse effects. You would think if it was clotting, then everybody would be clotting and you wouldn't have problems with other people bleeding spontaneously. So we haven't sorted those things out yet. But it is very odd. And there have been brain bleeds, spontaneous brain bleeds. They've had, and we've heard about the clotting in a huge vein system in your brain or in your skull. I mean, it's really frightening stuff. It's very scary. And they don't know why it happens.
Then why on earth would they? Because let's go back to when they said that the vaccine is 95% effective, but then when we had looked at the percentage of people that recovered from COVID, it was like 99 point something.
99%. Yeah. So no treatment at all is 99% effective to keep you from dying. You know, but when they say 95% effective, but they do against what? 95% effective against what? And I think everybody thought that it was going to be 99% effective, naively thought, against getting COVID or any of its variants, because that's what we were told.
Right.
That's what we were told on the news and everything else. You're never going to get COVID. So you have to have this vaccine. Everybody get the vaccine because we're going to be getting these variants. So you don't want to get sick again, blah, blah, blah. And even if you've had COVID, you have to have the vaccine. That makes no sense whatsoever. No medical sense at all. Your best immunity is always after you've had the disease. The idea is if you survive the disease, depending on how bad it is. COVID is not that bad for the vast majority of people. We should just be vaccinating the elderly. The people are truly at risk. The young are not at risk, I think. And to require, a friend of mine's daughter works at a hospital. She was pregnant. Thankfully, it was her third trimester. She was pregnant, and they required her to get a vaccine. That, to me, is absolutely criminal. Criminal. We never, ever test new medications on pregnant women. You don't.
Right, and it is still...
Wow, this just boggles my mind. It just infuriates me that they threatened this woman with... I mean, couldn't it be... Yeah, go ahead and wear a mask at work or something until you deliver, and then we'll talk about the vaccine. No, they forced a pregnant woman to take an experimental vaccine in order to keep her job. Unbelievable.
And to your point, experimental drug vaccine, or an experimental drug. We're hearing talk that, I think, is it the Pfizer vaccine that they think that might get FDA approval? And when that happens, though, it's in here somewhere. My understanding is as long as it was an experimental drug, then there could not be treatments. And you know that there is treatments. There's a cost, very inexpensive treatments for COVID, but it was beyond us that these treatments then were attacked in the press. These are treatments that could have helped people get through the symptoms in being sick in a much quicker way and also saved lives. And my understanding, though, is once they receive FDA approval, then the treatments can be readily available. Is that true?
That I've not heard.
Okay.
That I've not heard. But the minute the FDA approves it, you know what's going to happen. Mandate, mandate, mandate.
I know.
This is completely safe. Well, I'm sorry. How does the FDA approve a vaccine in a year full approval? That makes no sense either. There's no
right.
science there. There is no science there. None. So
okay.
that to me just reeks of corruption, 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 corruption at every level, probably internationally. Because the minute the FDA approves it here, it's gonna fly around the rest of the world. One of the things you brought up is the treatment. So we talked about this before, but this is so frustrating. If there's disease, you look for a treatment. They just jumped straight, thanks to Anthony Fauci, They just jumped straight to vaccine. And we knew that, and you and I talked about that. The minute this thing started happening, it's like, no, they're pushing a vaccine. This is all about a vaccine. Okay. And every medication that they're putting forward, like in these new treatment guidelines, brand new medication, IV or intramuscular, it's a shot. It's always a shot. And this kind of bugs me. So it's the only things that they're approving are brand new medications, Remdesivir, Regeneron, and then they've got these new monoclonal antibody injections. Multiple injections. What's the deal? I mean, granted, IV medication is always the first one to come out and be available, but rather than well-proven, well-documented prevention and early treatment, it's all about new medications and vaccines.
So do you think it...
things that are approved.
Okay.
Now, I sent you... Oh, I want to mention before we go, I sent you and Steve another link this morning from the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, AAPS. It's a doctor group, and they've been around a long, long time. They do some really good work, and they're very freedom-minded. Dr. Peter McCullough, who I sent you two videos to post on his testimonies and an interview with him about, and this is one was just posted 2 days ago, so completely up-to-date stuff. Post that on the website, but they came up with treatment guidelines for outpatient treatment, essentially. So,
okay.
And on their website, I sent you the link to their homepage, and it also has a link to find a physician in your area that will treat COVID as an outpatient. Isn't that, I mean, it just infuriates me. It's an embarrassment to the medical community. It's criminal behavior, in my opinion, that there are doctors, so many doctors, that are refusing to give any kind of outpatient treatment to a patient with COVID. No matter how sick they are, you don't get anything until you get into the hospital. And that's when you're more likely to die. Since when do we practice medicine like this? Since when? This is unbelievable to me.
Okay,
I can't get over how the medical community has just signed on to all this, but I think it's also a lot of coercion from corporate medicine. And corporate medicine isn't typically run by, there aren't too many doctors in that. It's a bunch of C-student administrators. their revenge of the C-students on doctors or something, you know, but there's a lot of coercion that's coming from corporations and government. Corporations and government. This is just, that's to me the most frightening thing about COVID is the level to which practicing physicians and the medical community in general has been seemingly complicit in allowing so much suffering as in sickness. Like people are sick, they have COVID, they feel terrible, there are treatments available, and the medical community is just turning around and going, eh, too bad, we'll wait till you're in the hospital. And then they manipulate those numbers, right? And then they have mandates, and then they induce fear, and then you get vaccinated, and they force you to get vaccinated, when there are all these treatments that would make a vaccine completely unnecessary.
So we have 2 minutes left. What do you recommend for people to do?
So I've sent you those links. I think these are some of the best links I've found and I sent to you. So anybody who wants to know more about the Delta variant and COVID in general and treatment of COVID, if you get it and you get symptoms, here are some things and here's how you find a doctor that will get it to you, because that's the other thing. You may go, I've heard about ivermectin, HCQ, steroids, over-the-counter, what antibiotic do I take, and how do I find a doctor that will give it to me?
So, well, I've also heard...
The links that I sent to you, these are really useful links for everybody.
Okay, yeah. We'll get those into the recap that will be posted by tomorrow morning. But I've also heard that there are some of the big pharmacies that will not fill these prescriptions. Is that true?
There apparently there are some. So yeah. So the idea is you find another pharmacy. I mean, I don't know what the CVS and some of these national pharmacies, but it's all the same thing. Look at what corporate, the corporate control, big box control of medicine has done to us. Thanks to, and Obamacare started this whole, really got this ball rolling. Obamacare was the main catalyst. We went from, you know, like something like 20% of doctors to almost, at this point, it's almost 80% of physicians don't have their own practice anymore. They are employed by corporate medicine in one way or another.
Well, and this has been, they've been playing long ball on all of this. And now that the veil is off, we continue to speak truth into this. Jill, I know that you do a tremendous amount of research. Thank you so much for joining us today, because we need to continue to learn about this, and we need to continue to push back on this corporatism that we see across the spectrum. Dr. Jill Vecchio, thank you so much for joining us.
Take care.
And we have a George Patton quote here for the end of the show as well, which I think is really important. It says, "It is better to fight for something than live for nothing." So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Y'all